KGRGFM, KGRGFM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207 AP, Seminary Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and I got a new phone number. Yeah, I recently went through that weird process of, you know what, getting a new phone number. It was a little bit before Christmas, or was it after? I don't remember. Whatever. Anyways, I got a new phone, so came with all the whole, like, contacting people. Yo, this is where you get me. But about halfway through that process, I realized how irrelevant, like, getting a new number is. Like, most of the people I just hit up on Facebook or whatever anyway. So, you know, it doesn't matter. But we're always taking your requests at 253-833-5004. Doubt that number is ever going to change. And we're having a really awesome show this morning. We've got your six-pack. We've got a lot of stuff that happened this week since, you know what, we weren't on the air last week. So we're going to talk about everything that happened to us during that little week vacation. We have your geeky news happening at 6:20. We have your news every hour on the hour and past that. Who knows? All I know is it'd be awesome. So stay tuned. We have your Voodoo Skulls Devil's Three-Way tickets. So stay tuned for that. Not sure when we're going to give those away, but 253-833-5004 is a good number to know. We'll be back with your geeky news after I Have a Nightmare by Brand New on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Geeky news.
89.9 KGRGFM. You're listening to The Buzz at 6:20. So that means it's time for your geeky news this morning. And there's an obvious, like, giant elephant in the room. We'll address that towards the end. We'll get to it. But for right now, let's get to some happier stuff. Because some geeky news definitely happened yesterday. And we'll get to it. But in the meantime, let's start off with the fact that... Oh, there we go. Kung Fury director joins the team of another 1980s throwback short film. Now, for those of you who don't remember, Kung Fury was that weird, like, 30-minute YouTube video that blew up for a couple of weeks. All about just some dude who was also a cop, but had to fight Hitler and, you know, raptors or whatever. I don't know. But people waiting for Kung Fury 2 might have to wait a little bit longer because the director has joined the team of another like-minded short film. David Sandberg, the Swedish director and star of Kung Fury, joined the team of Blood Machines, along with Seth Ackerman, in the early stages of its Kickstarter campaign. And once you check out the upcoming movie, you'll probably see why. Blood Machines is a sequel film to the music video for Turbo Killer by Carpenter Brut. I honestly haven't heard of either of those things. But the video is also directed by Seth Ackerman, who is actually a French director, team composed of Raphael Hernandez and Savici Joy Gonfrend. The Kickstarter has already surpassed its initial goal of $78,000, and at the time of writing, or at the time of this episode, it still has about 13 days left. Stretch goals include additional merchandise for backers and VR codes. Kung Fury, for those of you again who don't remember, is a short 30-minute film, which is just enough time to enjoy the 1980s tropes, visuals, and before it grows tired. It's a really good length on that movie. We sat down in the studio when it first came out and just sort of watched it as a group, and it wasn't one of those things where even watching on the phone you got tired of it. So it's really exciting that they're actively doing stuff. I miss that guy. More geeky news. Some guy decided to, you know, create a self-playing piano in Halo 5 that plays All-Star by Smash Mouth because that's the thing that people needed. As bad as 2016 has been for pop culture, some things will never die. Including All-Star by Smash Mouth, a band that hasn't really done anything since the Shrek movies came out. You can now download a map in Halo 5 Forge that includes a piano that plays the hit song. There's even a giant Shrek head in the distance, which, you know, it's pretty impressive. So, I'm not sure who still plays Halo anymore. I know that there's still a lot of people who are still on that game for some reason. But you know what? Good for you. Although Halo 5 came out pretty recently. I don't know, man. I haven't played Halo since I was like 10. Next piece of geeky news I have. IMDb actually released their top 10 films of 2016 based purely on page views. And here's your top 10 list. Number one was Suicide Squad, which... I can see it. There's a lot of hype around that movie. a ton of hype around that movie when it was first like coming out, especially after like the bad taste in people's mouth that we got after after Batman v Superman. So that one made sense. Captain America Civil War, again, another really big movie. Number three, Batman v Superman. I'm not sure why that one got the third spot. People knew that, like, that first Henry Cavill Superman movie was pretty bad. So I'm not sure why it was number three, but it was. Deadpool was number four. Thought that one would make it a little bit higher. X-Men Apocalypse was number five. Didn't see that one yet. Not sure why. Really like that series. Might be J-Law. She's attractive, but you know what? I don't know, man. I don't know. Number six was the Jungle Book. Still haven't seen that one, but just show up on Netflix, so I'm going to have to. Number seven was The Magnificent Seven. Fitting. That one I was actually really excited to see. That was the one with, like, Chris Pratt and Denzel Washington. They're all cowboys and stuff. Number eight was Ghostbusters. Number nine, Warcraft. That one, again, really surprised. They even made the list, and then number 10 was Legend of Tarzan. Now, last bit of geeky news. In case you were living under a rock yesterday, you were more than aware that the actress who played Princess Leia, she also played a nun in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Numerous other roles. Carrie Fisher unfortunately passed away yesterday. We thought we were in the clear after she had a massive heart attack on a plane. They got her off the plane. They got her in the hospital. Got her in stable condition. But unfortunately, yesterday, she passed away, as well as the guy who did the voice for the Heat Miser in one of the Rudolph movies. But yeah, the big one, the biggest death yesterday was definitely Carrie Fisher. And I know it hit a lot of people really close to home. Whether you're just like a Star Wars fan or a pop culture fan in general, she was in a lot of roles just outside of Star Wars. Again, one of my favorite roles was Fanboys, when she played the Doctor in a movie about, you know, a bunch of Star Wars fans. Really, really good there. Her cameo stuff is really good. She was also in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back as just a nun, but she was hilarious. You couldn't tell unless, like, you went back and watched it later and it's just like, holy cow, that was Carrie Fisher. But I know that she meant a lot to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. Again, initially, everybody's first crack at her, as far as I know, has been Star Wars. Especially A New Hope. And that's where, you know, you get that really, really strong female character that not a whole lot of people have seen or had seen before. She just sort of took charge on her own, like, escape when people came to rescue her after being kidnapped. She's just like, you know what? I got this. So, yeah, that one hit really hard. But with that comes her role as Princess Leia that wasn't done yet. Or at least, should I say, General Ortega. Because, yeah, she wasn't a princess in Episode 8. She was a general. But, yeah, luckily they finished filming Episode 8 before she passed away. So her part in filming is done. But there's still a ninth movie. But that brings us to this last little bit of geeky news. Lucasfilm has been discussing bringing new characters from A New Hope back in CGI form, or in CGI form for Rogue One. A few characters from Star Wars A New Hope awesomely made an appearance in Rogue One. These characters were brought back to life in CGI form. I won't tell you who they are in case you haven't seen the movie yet, but Lucasfilm discusses their decision to bring back these characters to life, as well as the work that went into making it happen in the New York Times. One of the biggest prizes in the film was how big a role Grand Moff Tarkin played in Rogue One's story. I thought that ILM did an amazing job bringing the character played by Peter Cushing back to life. There was a bit of controversy surrounding the decision because Cushing died in 1994. And there have been debates on the ethics of prolonging the lifespan of a character and his likeness of the actor who originated the role. They did have permission from Cushing the state to do it, and ultimately, you know, that's what matters. But when it comes to the character, Carrie Hart, a Lucasfilm story development executive and Rogue One co-producer, said, quote, "If he's not in the movie, we're going to have to explain why he's not in the movie. This is kind of his thing." The brains harken back to hired an English actor named Guy Henry, who had the same physical build as Crushing and could also speak in a similar voice and tone. They strapped him up with a motion sensory gear on his head so that they could digitally reconstruct his face with CG technology. It's described by John Knoll, the chief creative officer at ILM and visual effects supervisor, as being a, quote, super high-tech and labor-intensive version of doing makeup. So I guess what that comes down to then is, do you bring in Carrie Fisher and CGI for one more movie? Or if not, how do you explain one of the biggest characters in sci-fi fantasy, sci-fi movies in general, just being wiped off the map? Like, Princess Leia doesn't deserve to just die being blown up by Starkiller Base, which is already gone, or like die on Alderaan or some planet just being blown up like that. She deserves a warrior's death, man. She deserves to go down in a blaze of glory, very similar to how Han Solo went down. Like, when he went down, the entire room felt it. And I think anything short of that is a disservice to the amount of time and what that character means to so many different people. I know, you can hit me up on Twitter, on Facebook, at TheBuzzKGRG, or call me at 253-833-5004. If you want to just put out your condolences, let me know what Carrie Fisher meant to you, or even, I don't know, man, what do you think about bringing her back in CGI form for another one? They did it with Tupac, I guess. I don't know, man. Like, that's another one where they brought Tupac back. Who knows? But that was your geeky news for this morning. I'll be back with your regular news after La Dispute, 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by The Devil's Three-Way, happening January 10th at El Corazon. If you want to win tickets to see Voodoo Glow Skulls and more, holy cow, I can't speak. Call us at 253-833-5004. We'll hook you up with a pair of tickets. That's the Devil's Three-Way happening at El Corazon on January 10th. But it's time for your 6:30 news. And I almost got one of these for my little brother. Didn't know they were regulated. Almost kind of glad I didn't get him one now. But apparently the drone hobby comes with some rules. So let's get into that a little bit. With more people flying drones, their rules are starting to pop up. Co-owner of Cyclone Hobby, Stu Gray, actually went to a Michigan game, and this is the first time he'd ever seen on the scoreboard. There are some rules, including no smoking, which is pretty typical, and no drones. Gray said that he had heard examples of careless drone operators. Quote, "What's been a problem is people don't know all this stuff, and they're taking it up how high it'll go. Let's find out and fly it to where it might interfere with air traffic." So if you got a drone for Christmas, does it fly under the radar of the rules? According to FAA, if your drone weighs more than half a pound or less than 55 pounds, it must be registered online. And half a pound honestly isn't that heavy. And those are pretty small too. If it weighs more than 55 pounds, and I'd hate to see the drone or small aircraft that does, you need to fill out some paperwork. Other rules include flying below 400 feet, keeping the device within eyesight, and not flying near airports or groups of people. And the flying with, keeping within eyesight, I can see that one being difficult. Because most, super high-tech drones nowadays have those controllers that you can, attach your iPhone to, but they also have a camera attached underneath, so you can use that to steer instead. I know that there are also, professional drone races where people actually, wear VR sets and control drones that way. So, we'll see how that goes. Again, I almost brought one for my little brother. It wasn't going to be half a pound, but still, though. Next news story we got. British police discovered a marijuana plant disguised as a Christmas tree. But, know what happened? Because police in Chittenham, England raided a small cannabis farm and a local home this week and confiscated all the plants found inside. But one plant nearly escaped notice, hidden in plain sight by all the decorations of Christmas tree. The, oh my god, the Gloucestershire Constabulary. I don't even know what the string awards meant, but there you go. Snapped a photo of the festive weed before seizing it. It's kind of adorable. It's the little marijuana plant all dressed up with, like, tinsel, and it's got, like, Christmas ornaments, and it even has, like, a little angel on top. It's adorable. Marijuana remains illegal in the United Kingdom for recreational and most medical uses, as in much of the United States, though interest in drug law reform is steadily growing. Again, not sure how you missed that one, but I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. It was in a house full of marijuana. Last news story I got: sheriffs say that an Arkansas teen had fake heroin in his car. I don't know why that's a thing you'd want. Like, I've gotten fake dog poop for people before. I've even done, like, the fake vomit thing a couple of times. But fake heroin, you're just sort of asking for trouble. And I'm not sure where you would get that or why somebody would sell it. An Arkansas teenager has admitted to authorities that he packaged a brown substance intending to sell it as heroin, the Lone Oak County Sheriff's Office said. And a news release said that narcotics detectives stopped 18-year-old Logan Harold Dozier on Thursday night in Pickman Road in Kevitt in his car. Dozier said had baggies of fake heroin, the sheriff's office said. He reportedly admitted to the detectives that he bagged the fake narcotic and was going to try and sell it as heroin. The sheriff's office said that he also had marijuana paraphernalia. Dozier of Cabot faces charges of possession with purpose to deliver a counterfeit substance, unlawful use of communication device, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Drug paraphernalia, that one's a weird charge, but you know it, whatever. So homeboy thought he could get smart and try to do some, like, Breaking Bad-ish, I guess. I don't know. Not sure why you would ever want to do anything like that, but he tried. Whatever. We'll be back on 89.9 KGRG after the Menzingers. Bad Catholics, you're listening to The Buzz.
It's time to see what weird and crazy things are trending out there in the Twitterverse. This is Hash It Out, right here on The Buzz.
The band Geek Mafia by Voodoo Glow Skulls on 89.9 KGRG. If you want to see the Voodoo Glow Skulls have an awesome night of skanking around and whatnot during the Devil's Threesome, call us at 253-833-5004. For those of you who don't know, the Devil's Threesome is happening at El Corazon January 10th, and it's a giant ska fest, and it's going to be great. So if you want those tickets, again, 253-833-5004. But it's time for Hash It Out. We're found some hashtags. Hashtags are those things where, like, you take the tic-tac-toe thingy and you put some words behind it and start a conversation.
Tic-tac-toe thingy?
That's what it is, right? Like, before I knew what that was, I just started using it to play tic-tac-toe. What I wanted to bring to light real quick was one that Mike started on Monday during the Monday Project. You can catch that every Monday night. KGRG's only late-night talk show. It was hashtag Wild Dog Song Challenge.
Oh my god.
So, deal with this one. Find a song that either has wild and or dog in, like, the title, the band's name, or, like, anywhere in the song.
Okay.
You had somebody call in from Georgia, I guess, and they're like, and I guess they have a wild dog podcast.
Dope.
Right? And they're just like, hey, Mike, find songs with wild dog in it. So Monday, I suggested, like, Snoop Dogg, right?
Yeah.
One I thought this morning was Wild Side by Motley Crue. So I gotta hit him up with that one. But that's
Wild Thing.
Oh my god!
I want to be your dog.
Oh, Black Dog by Led Zeppelin. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Oh man. But that, again, that's hashtag Wild Dog Song Challenge. Hit up at the Monday Prod. At Monday Project 89. That's his Twitter handle on that one, or at least I think it is. Other hashtags we have for this morning. Hashtag if I were a food or drink. Examples are, I'd be a donut because I'm sweet on the outside and empty on the inside. Hashtag if I were a food or drink, I'd be at Danimals Yogurt because it was a thing back in the day. If I were a hashtag food or drink, I'd be oatmeal. Boring, but good for you.
I'm just glad that you didn't say I'd be Trix, because Trix are for kids.
Oh!
I don't want anyone to say that.
I mean, There are some definitely not safe radio ones.
Oh, yeah.
I'll share those later.
Okay.
We have hashtag I'd be a jawbreaker because I'm all about finding student jobs. I don't know what that means.
I want to die.
That came from Manager Career Center.
I want to die.
Well, what kind of food would you be? Would you just be like arsenic or rat poison or something?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I'd be pizza because, I don't know, I like pizza. I'm not good at this game.
It's okay.
Next hashtag we got, hashtag it's not a waste if. For example, it's not a waste if your TC slides or slid into your DMs. What's a TC?
I don't know.
Me either. I know what sliding into the DMs means. Not sure what a TC is. If you know what TC is, hit us up at TheBuzzKJRG on Facebook, on Twitter. Next one we got, if you give your leftover food to someone in need, nobody should be starving. That's a good one. Hashtag it's not a waste if you learn your lesson and move on. Okay.
It's not a waste if you recycle.
Right? Hashtag it's not a waste if you can be walking, tweeting proof two kids can be the best in 200 words is no substitute for an education. And that one's not radio appropriate. The next one I didn't say.
Oh, okay.
Yep. We'll just move on to the next one. This one, I couldn't come up with any. I just found some examples. Hashtag poem a job interview. So, imagine you're in a job interview and you know what? You decide to whip out a sweet haiku or something. So, hashtag poem a job interview. My biggest weakness would be my distaste for waking up early and working too late. Same. Not sure that gave you this job, but same.
I love it when they are, why do you want to work here? And then you're just like, because I want to eat Taco Bell more.
Right?
Like, why else would I want to work here?
Because I need money, duh. I think the other worst thing is what makes you qualified? I don't know. I just want a job.
Or if it's I don't know, a frozen yogurt place. What are you supposed to say? I just really have a passion for frozen yogurt.
Next we got hashtag poem a job interview. I love your company, such a big fan. Just one question, sir. What's the name again?
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not so bad about companies' names. That'd just be weird, but people's names? It takes me a good month and a half to 2 months to remember everybody I work with.
That's why George Foreman named all of his kids the same name.
There you go.
He's thinking ahead.
Last hashtag we got, hashtag bad New Year's toast. I've never actually been to a New Year's party where they actually do a toast.
Me neither.
Right?
Everyone's just drunk by that point.
We have, may all your troubles last as long as your New Year's resolutions. Fair. Very fair. Hashtag bad New Year's toast. I hope I don't have to see any of you for the rest of the year. Cheers. I know a couple people like that.
Yeah.
Hashtag bad New Year's toast. I drink to make other people more interesting.
I mean, yeah.
Last one we got. Climbing onto the table and declaring you are about to make your balls drop.
What?
Yep.
I'm upset.
Woo! There we go.
I'm upset.
That was Hash It Out this morning at 89.9 KJRG FM. Getting those hashtags were hashtag bad New Year's toast, hashtag poem a job interview, hashtag it's not a waste if, and hashtag if I were a food or drink. You know what food or drink would you be? That's at TheBuzzKJRG on Facebook, on Twitter, or call us 253-833-5004. We'll be back with your word of the week after Take Cover by All Time Low.
You're listening to The Buzz on KJRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
89.9 KJRG. You're listening to The Buzz on KJRG FM, KJRG FM HD1 Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP Sumner Lake Taps 89.3 FM. It's Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock, so let's get your word of the week on. This morning's, I relate to quite a bit, both in kind of personal life and in the workplace. This week's word of the week is voluntold. Voluntold is the exact opposite of volunteering, always used in reference to an unpleasant task to which you are assigned by your boss. Example, coworker 1, I hear you got a transfer. Coworker 2, yeah, but I didn't want to. I was voluntold. Example number 2, you want to go fishing on Saturday? I can't. I got voluntold and I have to work this weekend. Like, that second example is probably the most common for me, where it's just like, hey, you want to work today?
Nope.
No, but you know I have nothing going on because I answered my phone. Crap. Like, because people call out sick almost weekly.
Yeah.
I'm always, like, the first one people hit up. Just like, man, there's a reason I don't work during the week. Well, I do, but not during the day. Like, I currently work 2 jobs, 1 overnight, 1 just right on the weekends, and sometimes the weekend job's like, hey, you should come in and, like, work during the day. I'm like, dude, that's when I sleep. Stop. The other thing is just, on my overnight job, it was like last Saturday, I had a coworker just not show up because he didn't know he was scheduled. So he was just like, hey, so can you just cover my shift for me?
No.
That made it a 12-hour shift.
No.
But I couldn't leave. Like, what are you going to do? Because, like, with that overnight job, the person who's there, you're the only one there until the next person shows up. And because the next person didn't show up, she's like, cool, I'm just sort of here now, whether I want to be or not.
That upsets me.
Right? You ever get voluntold to do stuff?
When like I was in military school, I did all the time.
You guys probably, like, have to play rock, paper, scissors or whatever to, like, clean up baby fluid at Baby Fight Club, right?
No, I'm just like, Peter, I'm not doing that. And he'll go, okay, I'll do it.
Okay. So that's kind of being voluntold. The other thing I hated was, like, in high school, did you ever have to do the, like, mandatory volunteers or, like, public service or whatever?
No, because I was like, I don't want to do this.
At the high school I went to, it was a graduation requirement.
Well, because I dropped out and, like, finished my high school here, I didn't have to do any culminating project or any of that ish.
I'm really jealous of the people who did that, not gonna lie. Because I had a friend who came up from California, and most of his high school credits didn't transfer, so, like, his first year and a half of high school just didn't count when he got up to Washington.
That upsets me.
So he's just like, you know what? I'm gonna drop out and graduate from high school a year early. Cool. But, yeah, that whole volunteer process kind of sucked. I understand that there are people out there who go out and volunteer on their own, and it's great. Like, the thing I did to volunteer was I went and helped out at, like, a summer track meet thing where the like, stadium / track in downtown Puyallup, Spark Stadium, over the summer they had this thing where, like, once a week people could come in and, like, run in the mile race or, like, do the long jump or whatever, and a lot of people showed up. I might have done it on my own because I was a pretty big track and field nut back in the day. So I might have done it for fun, but the fact that I had to be there for it just sort of sucked the life out of me.
Aww.
Right? It sucked.
It does.
So call me 253-833-5004. Let me know something that you had to be voluntold for, whether it's like being forced into work because somebody called out sick or just the boss being like, hey, you're available, go do the thing. That's at the Buzz KGRG on Facebook, on Twitter, or call us 253-833-5004. We'll be back after I've Been Dead All Day by Bayside.
I'm so sorry that started off so weird. I have done a lot of drugs today.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by The Devil's Threesome at El Corazon on January 10th, featuring the Voodoo Glow Skulls and more. If you want to win tickets to The Devil's Threesome happening at El Corazon on January 10th, you can call us at 253-833-5004. We'll hook you up. Because free tickets are dope, right?
Yeah.
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 Before we get into the news, a quick shout out to Nick for hitting us up on Twitter at TheBuzzKGRG. He let us know that when he was on deployment, Every day of his life was the word of the week, voluntold.
Aww.
For example, he said, getting voluntold to clean up portable toilets that have been sitting in 140-degree weather all day. Nick, that sounds awful. I'm sorry. Oh, man. But again, if you want to hit us up with the word of the week, that was voluntold at the BuzzKJRG on Facebook, on Twitter. We're actually pretty famous with that, man. Like, you just started searching the Buzz, and we're pretty high up there on the list. It's neat. But time for this hour's news. We'll start it off with some possible bad weather. Looks like 2017 is going to get off to a pretty cruddy start. 2017 looks to start off with a proverbial icebox in Western Washington. It's been no secret the last few years have been pretty warm in the Pacific Northwest. In Seattle, 8 months out of the year have set records for the warmest on record since 2014, while the past 4 years, August's ranked second through fifth. But in 2017, is looking to buck the trend, or at least out of the gate, as signs are pointing to an extended cold snap that could be one of the longer cold stretches of weather we've seen since the start of the decade, if not earlier. While the weather is in short term, it is pretty routine as we finish off 2016, the big pattern shift happens just as we undergo a major calendar shift. The flip to 2017. Colder air will begin to stream in from British Columbia on Saturday as a trough of low pressure drops from the northwest. It'll put snow levels, if not at the surface, around a few hundred feet so we could be playing the game of snow in the hills, but not so much along the shores. Our timing would have possible snow on Saturday night, entering in the new year, Sunday morning, so outside festivities may suck a little bit. So it doesn't sound like 2017 is going to start off any better than 2016 was, which is a bummer. But we haven't had a good...
As long as nobody else dies.
We haven't had a good, like, snowstorm in years.
I don't even want to talk about snowstorms. I've had enough snow.
That's fair.
Like, I had to walk through a blizzard.
Next news story we have, this is really weird to report on. A bunch of mall fights have started breaking out.
Okay. Like,
this started the day after Christmas, actually. Massive brawls and food court fights have played out at more than a dozen malls across the country in what proved to be a chaotic day after Christmas. Some of the mayhem was captured on social media. The chaos prevented some shoppers from grabbing clothes off the clearance racks and returning gifts. The mall incidents, which range from minor melees to mass evacuations, occurred from Colorado to Tennessee and Texas to New Jersey. Police say in some cities are investigating the role social media may have played in organizing the disturbances. The motive behind the mall brawls is not yet known, and it's happened in, as of yesterday, about 10 malls. Most recent happening in Philadelphia, and this one was organized by a bunch of kids on Snapchat.
Oh my
so
god.
These kids are just like, hey, we should meet up at this mall, and they'll do stuff like yell gun in a crowded mall, or just start like banging chairs around so it sounds like gunshots.
This is the reason people hate children.
And then they'll just start wailing on people.
Oh my god.
And on top of the confusion, as people are freaking out, they're trampling over each other trying to get to exits.
Well, yeah, like, people, it's like...
terrifying, right?
Shootings haven't happened in public places such as malls before.
So, like, at least for the next week or so, since this is looking to be a trend that's going to extend past possibly the next couple of weeks... And if you, like, this is prime time to go to the mall, again, pick up those, like, clearance deals or return stuff that might have gotten the double of.
Return season.
Yup. Just keep an eye out. If you hear people acting up, definitely watch out. Don't get yourself trampled or anything. That's bad, but kids are stupid, man. I hate to say this, and it makes me sound old, but kids are stupid. Last news story I got for this hour. Man was arrested at Orlando Airport for removing his pants and stealing a luggage cart. Man was suspected of taking off his pants before stealing a luggage cart and driving it across the tarmac at Orlando International Airport, bonded out of jail on Monday. Outside jail, 27-year-old Richard Ho was, matter of fact, when asked what happened on Friday by the reporter from NBC affiliate WESH-TV. He says, quote, Don't do crystal meth. Okay. Hoke repeated twice before adding, quote, don't ruin your lives, kids. On a Chicago-bound flight, police say the Canadian citizen sat in an unassigned first-class seat, then claimed to be the pilot. He was taken off the plane, then a cleaning service employee told police Ho followed her on a service elevator, where she challenged him for not having an ID badge. About that time, the elevator door opened, and the witnesses says Ho got out, took off his pants, and walked into an airport area not accessible to members of the public. Police say that he hopped in the passenger seat of an airport luggage vehicle and told the driver he had a flight to catch. Sounds almost like the plot of, like, Liar Liar, when he, like, got on the tarmac on that stair thing. Police say the driver got out as he drove onto the taxiway towards an airport fire station. The firefighter made it aware of what was going on, hopped on, got the vehicle stopped, and the other firefighters subdued him. During the incident, a spokeswoman for Greater Orlando Aviation Authority says pilots were told to avoid moving the aircraft, but there is no overall interruption to flight operations. So again, coming from the dude who committed the crime, don't smoke meth.
Oh.
Right? Oh, man.
I'm hurt.
Like, I've gotten drunk a couple of times and done some stupid stuff, but I've never gotten, like, yo, let's go commit a felony crazy.
I mean, the day is young.
That was the news for this hour on 89.9 KGRG FM. Stay tuned, we got your six-pack coming up next. You're listening to The Buzz.
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for our six pack.
Yeah.
Top six list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. I'm not sure what this one would qualify as. Like, this one I found was like, neat subject matter.
Okay.
It would suck if it happened to me, or like if I was a victim, or it was like, I guess at the receiving end of any of this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's all kind of funny, and I don't know.
Right.
It is the top six strangest objects ever found in a porta potty. And I've had some bad porta potty experiences, man. Like,
I generally try to avoid them at all costs.
Same. Like, I gotta load up on hand sanitizer, like, before and after. If it's the middle of summer, I just say no because the smell is awful, but...
Like, if I have to use a porta potty, I want it to be, like, brand new and nobody's ever used it before.
In these stories, they'll probably reinforce that idea.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
These go from weird to weirder.
Okay.
So let's start off with number six. Number six on the top six items, weirdest items ever found in a porta potty. Undelivered mail. Yeah. After complaining of mail delivery problems, residents of Macomb Township, Michigan received an unpleasant surprise when a construction worker discovered their mail inside a porta potty in December 2016. So this was like this month.
Ooh.
The United States Postal Service system delivery person had skipped the recipient's mailboxes in favor of depositing their correspondence in the public toilet. Hundreds of people are denied checks, holiday cards, store coupons, and other items dumped in the privy in mid-November. The recovered mail was blue because it absorbed the color of the odor-reducing agent added to the toilet.
Mm.
Never really effective, but I guess that's why it's blue. Never knew that. A USPS investigation identified the culprit as a letter carrier who had since resigned and is facing felony charges of mail theft. Some of the discarded mail was delivered after being sanitized. Other items must be reissued. Man, that'd be a bummer.
Especially if, like, you got sent cash.
Right? Like, some of those Christmas cards, especially from, like, grandparents, man, that's where it's at. And if you don't get it in, oh, man. Like, especially checks. Whether you're, like, could you imagine, like, you had to pay a bill and you send in the check, but the check never got it, so, like, your power got shut off or something? That would suck.
That sucks so bad.
Like, yeah. Granted, there's, like, electronic stuff nowadays, but still, a lot of people still send money and checks and stuff through the mail, so I could only imagine how big of a setback that was. It sucks.
Yeah.
Number five. Fireworks. Definitely something I wouldn't want to see in a porta potty ever.
Can you, like, imagine being, like, drunk at, like, a public place where there's a bunch of porta potties and, like, someone just lights a firecracker in the one next to you?
Well, in July 2015, a smoking porta potty that exuded the odor of burned powder alerted passersby to a possible fire started inside the public toilet in Ottawa, Canada. Responding firefighters found the remnants of firework paper, Ottawa Fire Chief Jeff Carner said. However, they found that no actual fire was there. Carner said it was apparent that someone had discharged some type of firework inside the potty. No suspects were identified. That'd be terrifying. Like, that's one of my biggest fears. You ever watch Eight Crazy Nights?
A long time ago.
Like the Adam Sandler movie? Mm-hmm. Where, like, the dude's in the porta potty and they start shaking it and then it tips over and he ends up frozen in poo and, like, human waste and the deer come by and lick it off of him.
I don't want it.
Right? That'd be awful. And, like, having fireworks just under your bum would be terrifying. I couldn't do it. Just be like, nope, I'm done. I'm done with today. No, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Next one we have here. Equally creepy. Well, more creepy, less jarring. Well, equally jarring. I don't know, man. I'm just saying words. Number four, is a camera. Yeah. And these shots are hilarious. In October 10th, 2015.
Wait, there's pictures?
There's pictures.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Oh,
I don't even know how to say this name. It's YPSILANTI. If you're from that town, Jeff, call us at 253-833-5004. There's nothing more I hate more than people, like, pronouncing my name or my hometown name wrong. I'm from Puyallup, so people are always just like, is it Puyallup? Puyallup?
Puyallup.
Puyallup. I get it. God. So from Yespanti Township, I guess you'd call that, a Michigan, James Francis Mazur provided evidence of his crimes when he inadvertently took a few selfies as he hid a camera inside a coffee cup left in a public toilet at Wizards Orchards and County Fair. He was arrested on charges of installing or using a device for eavesdropping and surveilling an unclothed person, both of which are felonies. This porta potty was in place for one day, and the only likeness caught on his camera was his own. And these are the weird, like, from the chest selfies going up, so, like, he gets the double neck going on. It's adorable.
I'm upset.
Yeah, I don't think I could deal with finding a camera in the bathroom, though. Like, you hear those horror stories all the time of, like, women finding them in the, like, women's restroom and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I'm not dealing with that. But that was numbers 6, 5, and 4 of the creepiest things, or the weirdest things ever found in a porta potty. We'll be back with number 3, 2, and 1 after MXPX. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the 6-pack.
You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG-FM, KGRG-FM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP, 70 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. We're in the middle of our 6-pack, our top 6 list of things that are awesome, occasionally not so awesome. This morning's a little weird. In fact, it's really weird. It's the top 6 weirdest things ever found in a porta potty. Quick recap.
Yeah.
Number 6, undelivered mail. This actually happened, like, this December, and so a lot of people missed out on their Christmas cards. Kind of a bummer. Number 5 was fireworks. Because, like, explosive diarrhea isn't enough. You need actual explosives. And then number 4 was, you know, a camera that some dude decided to try to be creepy with, but only caught pictures of himself.
That's upsetting.
Luckily, only of his face.
Yeah.
So, the next couple are going to get progressively weirder.
Awesome.
Number 3, a meth lab. One whole meth lab.
That's very tiny.
Right? In February 2013, something smelled bad inside a golf course porta potty in Purcell, Oklahoma. Strange sports drinks bottles containing chemicals made employees suspicious. They notified the police, who determined that someone had used the toilet as a miniature meth lab, making the drug using the shake and bake method. I didn't know there was a shake and bake method to making meth. Who knew? You learn something new every day. 3 bottles were found, but 2 of them exploded before police arrived on the scene. Had the porta potty been occupied at the time of the explosion, Purcell Detective Corporal Scott Steffen said that the occupant might have gotten hurt by the flying plastic and the chemicals. Despite the damage of the interior toilets, fingerprint evidence was recovered and it has furnished investigators with a lead. More than one person may have been involved in manufacturing of the illegal drug and destruction of private property. Okay.
Okay.
I thought I've actually lived down the street from a meth house once.
Me too!
Right? And, even on Breaking Bad, man, they need an entire cleared out trailer. But, when I lived down the street, it was an entire house that they were using as a meth lab. And, yeah, you can tell by the smell, and that's what ended up getting the cops called on them. But I couldn't imagine what it would take to, set up shop in a porta potty. Yeah, meth is bad. Obviously, if you listen back to our last news segment, that guy who, took off his pants and decided to play Liar Liar definitely showed that and said, quote, don't do meth. But
still, yeah.
Gotta give him, extra points for being, I guess, intuitive? Or, I don't know. They did the thing, man. Number two. We'll keep the drug train rolling. Drugs and drug paraphernalia. A man found marijuana plants in a porta potty in Rogue River, Oregon, in August 2016. So this is this year too. He was walking his dog when nature called. The public toilet was sheltering several large marijuana plants near tennis courts in Anna Classic Park. Police Chief Ken Lewis offered a few ideas on why the pot was in the toilet. He said maybe somebody stashed it. Maybe they were transporting it somewhere illegally and they had to stash it for somebody to pick it up. He said that the plants, which were placed inside the porta potty between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m., were confiscated by police. A porta potty full of heroin paraphernalia was removed from its site on Don Samuel Torres Park in Rochester, New York, across the street from a public school. While photographing the area this December, Julie Oldfield spotted the items and notified police. Mayor Lovely Warren had appealed to the public for assistance in helping eradicating drug use in the area. It was unclear whether Rochester owned the public toilet in question, but city work crews were ordered to remove the city-owned porta-potty facilities for the winter. This is no... At least the one found in August in Oregon. This is... We're not talking, a small little, pot plant or anything like that, or, tiny little bags full of weed. This is a... the thing's packed. It is, almost up to the ceiling, and there's no room to walk in there. There's no just stashing that. They were using that to transport something. Holy
yeah.
Cow.
That's a lot.
Right? All right. Number one. Kind of creepy.
Okay.
Is a little sad.
Is it a baby?
And they were babies at one point. Number one of the weirdest things ever found in a porta potty. Corpses.
All right.
Could you imagine, sitting down to do your business and, having somebody poking you in the butt? I'd be terrified. It's like every bad zombie movie that ever has, any sort of underwater scene, swamp scene, where, a hand's reaching up and just sort of grabs you.
I'm upset.
Or, a horror movie where, the boogeyman reaches up from underneath the bed and just ha, gotcha. But as several dead bodies have been found in porta-potties, a porta-potty behind a Chapton pumping station in Lake St. Clair, Michigan, boat ramp contained a decomposing body. Although the identity of the man and the cause of death remain undetermined, authorities believe that the corpse discovered in April 20th, 2014 might be that of a homeless man who'd used the toilet as a shelter against the frigid cold winter cold. In Cincinnati, Paul Brown Stadium beefed up emergency personnel in October 2015 after a construction worker found the corpse of an unidentified male in one of the venue's porta-potty units. Earlier in the week, during the Chiefs-Bengals game, a fan collapsed in another public toilet and died at a local hospital. In May 2007, in Hewitt, Texas, a badly decomposing body of a young woman who had gone missing a few days earlier was identified as that of Southern Methodist University student Megan Bosch, age 21. At first, police believed that she had died of a drug overdose and was placed inside a construction site porta-potty. However, in the investigation of her death, made police suspect the murder and possibly rape of James McDaniel, an ex-con whom she may have dated. Her body was transported about 98 miles south of Dallas to Hewitt construction site and left in the porta potty. Only her cell phone, shoes, and purse were taken.
Jeez.
I couldn't imagine
that's
that,
awful.
Man.
Well, that's the last place I'd want my body to end up.
Well, just finding a dead body in general would be
like,
terrifying.
Murder me all you want, but don't you dare leave me in a porta potty.
I actually have a couple of friends who work at hotels, and they've found dead bodies like in the rooms and stuff a couple of times.
Oh, I bet.
And they come home just mortified. Like, you can tell when they found one, because like they'd come home, they'd sit down and just start drinking.
I mean, yeah.
And just have that blank stare in their eyes. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But at least you would, like, if you're walking to a porta potty, if you didn't have to, like, if you had to go in the bed, if you had to go walking into the porta potty, yeah, probably didn't have to go after seeing that.
Definitely not.
But that was your top six weirdest things ever found in a porta potty. Hit us up at Twitter, at TheBuzzKJRG, or on Facebook, at TheBuzzKJRG. What's some strange things you found in a porta potty? Because there's no flushing that stuff down, man. Whatever was left in there is going to be left in there until they decide to clean it out years
later.
Oh,
man.
We'll be back after Sell Up by Real Big Fish on 89.9 KJRG. You're listening to The Buzz. Tiger's Jaw with the Sun on 89.9 KJRG. You're listening to The Buzz. And I want to talk about our holiday vacation experience from last week, because I have some stories, you have some stories, but before we get into that real quick, the Not So Much Mother Show has been tweeting us this morning, and they actually posed a pretty interesting challenge, man. They said that they would grab a $100 bill out of a porta potty if they found one, and yes, even if it was like in the toilet with some, you know, fecal matter and whatnot on it.
Ew.
Would you grab that $100 bill? Think about it, like, if you think about it in, like, terms of getting paid, man, that's $100 a second.
Yeah.
Times 60 seconds, man. That's an insane amount of money to be making for just any sort of job. If I could pull $100 bills out of a porta potty as a job, I'd do it.
I don't know, man.
You're not down for that one-time grab of $100?
Maybe if I had, like, plastic gloves on.
Nah, man, like, I'll give you, like, putting your shirt sleeve or your sweatshirt sleeve over it and, like, grabbing it, and you can take your sweatshirt off later. But you're never just walking around with plastic gloves, man.
You don't know me.
Are you just ready for a crime scene?
Yes.
All right, so, our holidays were interesting. Danica, do you want to start first in your experience in Montaigne?
Okay, I want you to never pronounce it that way ever again.
Like, how large is the Hispanic population in a state named after the Spanish word for mountains?
Very low.
Okay. So how was that? Because you actually drove there, right?
Yeah, Montana's super white, if you didn't know. Like, until we moved when I was six, I had never seen, like, an African-American person in real life. Like, no, I'm not joking about that.
So it's kind of like on That 70s Show where, like, there's no African-American person in the show until, like, Steven's dad came in.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm tracking.
Yeah. And then, okay, so we drove there, and, like, the drive over wasn't too bad. Like, it was icy on the pass, we had to go over three passes to get there. And, the last two passes were a little icy, but it wasn't too bad. And, like, it wasn't, like, super late when we got there. It was, like 10 o'clock, like, our time. So, like, that wasn't bad. But, like, the roads were just terrible. Like, I didn't even get to, like, go to the, like, my family's ranch or see my grandpa just because the roads are so bad. And then I went to, like, a holiday party at my uncle's house. And there's puppies, and I was, like, super happy. But then, like, somebody walks in with, like, a pig. His name was Phil, too.
Because R.I.P. Phil won.
Yeah. It's a Christmas tragedy. And I lost my glasses. My dad found them. He has to mail them to me. So I've just been blind for, like, 3 days. But, like, the trip back, Like, we made this trip so many times in the last, like, 20 years. And, like, this is, like, the worst it's ever been. So, before we even get out of town, a rock, like, flies up and hits my mom's windshield. And so we got a crack in the windshield, which always sucks.
Dude, I get paranoid every time any sort of, like, debris hits the windshield. I'm just like, is this it? Is this when the windshield's just going to, like, shatter and I'm going to fly through it? And
yeah.
I guess, like, what was that? Final Destination 2 happens and logs come flying through and I die.
Oh, gosh. You had to, like, watch for deer, too, and, like, elk. If you hit an elk, like, that's going through your windshield and you're going to get, like, hoofed in the face. It's not going to be fun. Anyway, so that happened. It was so cold that, our wiper fluid for the windshield wipers was, like, frozen solid, like, in the line. So we didn't have wipers at all.
Oh, man.
So, like, we're driving through a blizzard. And, like, I told my mom, I was like, we should just wait. We should wait until the storm's over. And, like, I know you have work, but, like, your boss should be understanding. They're like, hey, I'm, like, literally trapped in a blizzard. I'm going to die if I try to drive through it, so I'm going to not do that. Like, I feel like that's a reasonable excuse.
Well, I know that a lot of traffic places, or, like, a lot of traffic advisors are just like, yo, take the day off if you're going through the pass, man.
Exactly. And I told her on that. She's like, oh, no, I got to be at work. And, like, I was like, I mean, you can't work if we die. It's cool, though. Just risk my life, too. So, like, we actually, like, start driving, and it wasn't bad until we, like, hit Snoqualmie Pass. Oh, buddy. We couldn't get the chains on our car, so I had to, like, walk, like, forever in a blizzard, and it felt like my face was getting cut by, like, the icy, like, snow, and I was wearing, like, really not waterproof clothes at all, because I just had, like, my tennis shoes on and, like, sweats. And, like, I had ice chunks in my hair, and so did my mom. It was, like, our hair was frozen. It was bad. And then we couldn't get, like, the chains off the car after we, like, went over it and, like, it got less snowy. It was just, I don't want to go in a car ever again.
I don't blame you. Like, I wouldn't leave my house for a while.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm here right now.
Aw. So, yeah, last week, I actually had to work Christmas Eve and Christmas. Like, I got off of work 8 a.m. on Christmas. So, like, the week leading up, my mom was like, hey, let's do dinner and lunch. I'm like, yo, yo, girl, slow your roll for a second.
Yeah.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do breakfast right after I get off of work, and then I'm going to sleep. Because Christmas Eve, I had a mandatory, like, work party at my weekend job. And, like, we showed up, we ate weird German bologna sandwiches. Like, there's a weird name for it. Like, liver something Germany. I don't know.
I don't want it.
It doesn't taste that bad. Like, I prefer it over regular bologna. It's actually pretty great. And, like, there's melted butter on it. Really good sandwich. So we did that, hung out, did a White Elephant exchange. It was a ton of fun. But then I didn't sleep after that. And then went, I had, like, a couple hours break, but not long enough to take a nap. Went to my other job, worked overnight. So by the time I went to breakfast with my mom, I was up for at least 20 hours straight. Did breakfast, did gift giving. That was a lot of fun. Something my mom and I have done the last couple of years is she'll just take me shopping at the Tacoma Mall or something like that. And she'll be like, yo, pick out your Christmas presents. That way, like, if I get any clothing or anything like that, I know it fits. And she knows that what I'm getting is something I actually want. I'm just not allowed to have it until Christmas. I actually like that a lot. The surprise factor being out of it, meh, whatever.
But then you get what you want.
Exactly. It's pretty dope.
No socks for you.
No, I got socks and it was great.
No, I love getting socks. As an adult, I'm just like, yeah.
I got a lot of really nice socks.
I ain't doing laundry now.
But yeah, it's been a really cool tradition me and my mom have. And then, like, we'll go and we'll do dinner and it's really nice just spending that time with her, too, even, like, leading up to Christmas. So, did that. That part was fun. Went home. Then did gifts with Thursday, because, like, she got home from breakfast around the same time I did. And this was super depressing and probably the most awkward gift exchange I've ever had. So, I was really excited to give her her gift.
Okay.
It was Dishonored 2 for PlayStation 4. Do you know how much a new PlayStation 4 game costs?
No.
Like $65, man, if it came out like any time within the last couple of months.
Hot damn.
Right? So she walks in, I see the same freaking game in her bag from her mom's house. I was like, oh my god. Because I was super excited. This is like the game she's been wanting forever, and she comes walking in with it.
Like, damn it, mom.
I was like, you would have the cool mom that gets you video games for Christmas. Thursday, come on.
So what happened?
Like, the second I saw it, I just looked super
your
depressed.
Heart just
she
sank.
She could tell. She was like, you got me that, didn't you?
Aw.
Like, yeah. But now she has, like, another video and she's turning in for, like, something else. So there's
That's good.
But I'm just like, I should have known. Man.
Should have known your mom was legit.
Right? But she gave me some really sweet hats. I've needed some new hats, man. My Coheed and Cambria one, it's in some sore shape.
Yeah, I'm tired of that one. Don't put that in my face. I'm just kidding.
So, hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter. We didn't really get into the gifts we got. We just did our sad holiday story.
We talked about socks. Hit us up on Twitter if you wear new holiday socks.
Yo! Or like a new hat or something, man. I don't know. If you got those lit holiday clothes, that's at the Buzz KGRG on Facebook, on Twitter. We'll be back with the news after AFI. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by the Devil's Three-Way at El Corazon on January 10th, featuring Voodoo Glow Skulls. If you want to win tickets to see Voodoo Glow Skulls and more for an awesome evening of skanking around.
Ooh.
Right, though? Some ska action for you. Call us at 253-833-5004. That's 253-833-5004. We'll give you a free pair of tickets to the Devil's Three-Way. Again, that's happening January 10th at El Corazon.
Woo!
Dude, I really want to go to this show, too. Like, I'm this close to, like, requesting time off of work to go see it. Because it sounds like a ton of fun. Plus, Voodoo Glow Skulls is legit.
Yeah.
They legit for show. So, this news hour, we're going to get into a little bit of sports. Because, you know what? I'm a casual sports fan, I guess you'd say. Like, I'll watch sports, but I'm not super big into stats or whatever. I kind of like sports talk. It's pretty fun.
Okay.
But my favorite thing about sports is the, like, weird playoff scenarios where it's just, like, if this happens and this happens and this team wins and this team loses, then maybe this team in last place can get all the way up to first place. Like, those things are pretty entertaining to me. So what I've got is how the Seahawks can clinch a bye week with another tie scenario and other zany playoff scenarios. So the NFL has come down to its final week of the regular season, and while 11 of the 12 playoff spots have been clinched, the AFC is pretty well set. There are some crazy scenarios still playing the NFC for the final spot and for playoff seeding, which is what the Seahawks are in. They're in the NFC. For the Seahawks, it's fairly simple. They just have to win. They're guaranteed at least a number 3 seed, meaning they'd play the number 6 seed at home in the wild card round, which would be like the first week of the playoffs. They wouldn't get a bye. If Atlanta would also lose to New Orleans, then Seattle would move up to the coveted number 2 seed and get a first-round bye and home game in the divisional round. If they lose to San Francisco, they'll drop to number 4 seed and play the New York Giants at home in the wild card round. But if they tie the 49ers, they could still get the number 2 seed if Atlanta loses and Green Bay and Detroit tie. That would mean that the Seahawks have an unprecedented two ties in one season, and an NFL would have a record 4 tie games. Believe it or not, it's not the craziest scenario. That belongs to what would happen if Tampa Bay Buccaneers to make the playoffs, which is a slight hair short of mathematically eliminated. First off, they would have to win their game against Carolina, and that's the easy part. Then Washington, New York Giants must tie. It's pretty rare, but not impossible, and then the Lions would have to beat Green Bay Packers. And if all of that happens, they're not even halfway there, because then they would leave them in a tie with Green Bay for the 6th and final spot, and they would tie on a few they would lose on a few tiebreakers. So then it comes down to strength of victory tiebreakers and just all that cool stuff. So then it comes down to whether they do an intentional tie or not. So for all you football fans out there, I'm not sure if that's interesting to you. It's interesting to me. Whew. I like it. It's cool.
Pretty cool.
Next news story I got. 6 inmates actually escaped jail using a broken toilet. 6 inmates escaped a Tennessee prison on Christmas Day thanks to a leaky toilet in their cell. The Cokie County Sheriff's Department identified the men as John Marksbear, Stephen Lewis, John Thomas Shahi, Horace Wade Wallen, and Eric S. Clark, and David Wayne Frazier, according to a report from WVLT. Early Christmas morning, there were 17 inmates in a dormitory-style cell, and someone noticed that the loose toilet against the wall, according to Cokie County Sheriff Armando Fontes. A few of the men took advantage of the opportunity by ripping it from the wall, breaking plastic pipes, and kicking out the steel box to escape. The guards noticed the men were missing during a headcount later that morning and discovered that what was left behind in the cell. Within 6 minutes, 6 of the 17 men in the cell crawled out of the hole and hopped the fence to freedom. A joy of freedom lasted a short time for 5 of the 6 convicts. By Monday night, Lewis, Spear, Allen, Click, and Shahi were captured and returned to jail. Fraser remained at large as of Tuesday morning. 2 other men were also arrested, according to WVLT. Daniel Spear and Jared Shoemaker were charged with harboring a fugitive as police arrested John Marksbear at a nearby home. Man, this is some, like, Shawshank Redemption-ish.
Yeah.
Where, like, the dude hops through the wall into the sewer system and pops out and yells.
I'm upset.
Those, like, jail escape stories, they always sound super surreal to me. Like, have you ever been to Alcatraz?
No, but I did visit a prison on my trip.
To Montana?
Yeah.
Because nothing says Christmas like prison.
No, I went to visit my uncle and we played Yahtzee.
There you go.
Prison Yahtzee. Except, oh, okay, the whole time I was there, I had Release Me by Wilson Phillips stuck in my head. And I was just like, this is so ironic.
Well, Alcatraz was super fun because, like, it's the whole story I first found out about from Mythbusters, where, like, a couple of dudes made a raft out of jackets and escaped and sailed. Like, Alcatraz is on a rock in the middle of San Francisco Bay. So you have to take a ferry out there, even just as, like, a tourist, and then you have to take a ferry out. So these two dudes, like, escaped and made a boat, and they always sound super, like, elaborate. It's really cool, and I want to be a part of a jailbreak for fun one day. Like, not be in prison and, like, serving time. But see if there's, like, a jail somewhere that'll let me, like, stay in a cell and see if I can escape. Sort of like those, like, room escape games or whatever that are around. That'd be a ton of fun. I'd do, like, Escape from Jail Edition.
Nice.
Last news story we'll do for this hour. In Seattle, Uber's teaming up to cut New Year's drunk driving. This one I wanted to touch on because it's super important. We're getting towards that time of the year, towards the end of all, like, the quote-unquote food holidays or drinking holidays. And New Year's is, like, that last big one before St. Patrick's Day. The city of Seattle and Uber are teaming up to cut down New Year's Eve's drunken driving, as 2016 may be recorded as the deadliest year for drunk driving deaths, especially with the weather projected to be how it is. Uber is offering discounts on some rides in the hopes that people will be going to and from bars celebrating New Year, use the service instead of getting behind the wheel. Last year, state troopers arrested more than 1,200 people between Thanksgiving and New Year's during emphasis patrols. Nationally, this year statistically could be recorded as the deadliest overall, with an average of 28 people a day killed in DUI crashes. In an effect to curb more drunk driving fatalities, Uber and the city of Seattle are teaming up by offering $10 off Uber pool trips by using the code SAFESTART2017 on the Uber app on rides between 5 p.m. on Saturday, December 31st, and 5 a.m. on New Year's Day. They're hoping everyone has a safe and sane New Year's by taking advantage of these rides. And even if you don't do this, I know that there are some tow companies, and you'll start seeing these Facebook posts and Twitter posts, that they'll, like, tow your car home for you or give you a free ride or something like that.
Sweet.
So this is super important. Stay out there and stay safe. Because nothing's a bigger bummer than, like, getting arrested after having a good night or, like, getting in a car wreck or anything like that. Even if you're not the one drunk driving, still being involved anyway is just a bummer.
Don't do it.
So we'll be back after War by Sum 41 at 89.9 KGRG FM. This has been the news for the 8 o'clock hour. You're listening to The Buzz. Pretend by Waking Things on 89.9 KGRG FM. Check them out because they actually just dropped a new album. Like, they have the physical copy, so go hit up their Bandcamp or check them out on Facebook. They're really cool. They're really, really close friends of the show. They've been up a couple of times, or at least Chris has. They're really cool dudes.
They be sweet.
Yeah, man. They're awesome, and they sound just as good recorded as they do live. They're a really fun show. If you haven't checked them out yet, definitely do so. Also, again, shout out to Nick for hitting us up on Facebook, on Twitter, and again, shout out to the Not So Much But Oh Show. You can catch those guys on demand on KGRG.com or on the KGRG app because they call in every Friday and do some geeky news with us. Especially, like, listen to last week's episode when we did, like, that hour and a half movie spectacular. That was great. And they've also been doing a bunch of stuff. They have a new green screen.
Oh.
And, like, their new videos sort of got me through that Christmas vacation break at work. They did some really, really good movie reviews. Like, they did Rogue One and a couple other ones. So, go check them out on YouTube. That's the Not So Much But A Show, also abbreviated as NSMBU. So, go check them out. Oh, before we got off the air, I touched on it during Geeky News. I wanted to talk to you real quick, Danica. How did you take the news when you found that Princess Leia, a.k.a. Carrie Fisher, died?
I'm upset. I'm going to go to work in my Princess Leia costume, and I'm going to be like, kids, I'm dead.
Well, you actually went as Princess Leia for Halloween, like, was it this year and last year or the year before or something?
The year before.
Yeah, because you were Wonder Woman this year.
Yeah. I'm upset.
Right? Oh, man.
And then she's, like, right next to me in the prod room.
Right? We have a poster of her up there. I forgot about that. Like, we have the Slave Leia bikini poster up in the studios.
She's so pretty.
Oh, man. You ready to get out of here?
Yes.
Since they're doing more construction. Man, we left and, like, we're gone for a week, and we're missing part of a closet, and they put in a new door after taking away, like, the other two doors we had.
I don't do well with change. I don't like it.
So, yeah, we're not doing a show on Friday.
That's because we're going to be hungover, though.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Let's do our bad English accents. So long, Governor!
Farewell, Governor.
Auf Wiedersehen, goodbye, Governor.
That's really hard to say.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Me too.
You don't deserve that, fam.
This has been The Buzz on 89.9 KGRG FM. If you missed this show or any of our past shows, just go on to KGRG.com or download the free KGRG FM app. It's free on Android. It's free on iTunes, wherever you get your app, just go download it and you can hear all of our stuff on demand for free. But until tomorrow morning, bright and early 6 a.m. on KGRG 89.9 FM, this has been The Buzz. Hopefully tomorrow, Fivus will not be dead.
Fivus, don't be dead. Stop being dead. That's stupid.
Because, like, homegirl just started driving again. She got in another car wreck and, like, she went to the ER for, like, car wreck unrelated things. So she just needs to chill for 2 seconds and come hang out with us.
I'm upset.
Whatever. But that'll be tomorrow. Super excited. We have your mixtape remix and whatnot. But this next song, I'm going to play it in honor of our Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher. It's A New Hope by Blink-182.